Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Mark. For those of you that may not know me, if you haven't seen me around for a number of weeks, we were out west visiting some family and friends, enjoying some time away, and it's good to be back. I expect that most of us would agree that the pandemic has motivated us to pray at some point or another. Because when things happen and we hear about, you know, things going on, there's a motivation to pray because of the uncertainty, because of the temptation to fear. And it's natural for our reaction to be to pray. That's a good thing. But the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what is it that we're praying for? Our natural reaction is to pray for our own needs, right? To pray for our own relief, to pray for our own protection, to pray for our own safety, to pray for maybe people that we know that they would be protected from illness, or for people that lost their jobs, that they would get their job back. We have this natural tendency for us to pray that life would be better for ourselves. Now, in the verses that we're looking at today, Paul is going to challenge us to pray, but he's not going to be challenging us to pray for what we normally pray for. You see, Paul is writing this letter from prison. And prisons back in those days were a lot worse than we could ever imagine. Nothing like the prisons today. They were suffering. And Paul was in prison when he was writing this letter to the Colossians. And he's going to challenge them to pray. Because as he's in prison, the reason why he is in prison is because he's been sharing the gospel with other people. And because of that, he has been arrested and he's in chains. And life is not easy for him. But even though he is suffering, he doesn't ask and challenge us to pray that life would be better for him, like we would tend to do. He has a different perspective in tough times that you and I need to learn in terms of the time that we're living in today. So take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 4, and we're looking at verses 2 through 4. Colossians chapter 4. Over the next 2 weeks, we're going to end off our series in Colossians. The book actually continues in verse 5 and goes to the end of the chapter, but Paul gives specific instructions to individuals, and we're not going to spend time looking at those, but for the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at the final instructions that Paul gives to the church as a whole. And today, it's specifically dealing with this matter of prayer. So let me read it for you, Colossians chapter 4, beginning of verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly. Now, Paul begins in these verses, in verse 2, telling us how we should be praying. Before he gets into the things they should be praying for, he's telling us how we should be praying. And there are three key words here that are mentioned that Paul will help us to understand how we should pray. The first word that he uses is the word devoted. When you're devoted to something, you do it with intense effort. Think about some things that people are devoted to. Maybe you know of somebody who's devoted to their hobby. You know, they collect something, or maybe they have a car they're fixing up, or they have, you know, certain things that they like to do, you know, the knitting circle. They're devoted to something. They do it with intense effort. It means they give themselves, they give time, they give energy, they give effort to make this thing happen, whatever it is that they're devoted to. You know, Paul is telling us that we need to give our time, our energy, and our effort to prayer. We need to be devoted to prayer. It's interesting, a little bit farther in this chapter, he speaks about Epaphras. Epaphras told Paul to send greetings to the church on his behalf. And it says in verse 12 that Paul describes Epaphras as someone who is always wrestling in prayer for you. And it's interesting, that word wrestling is the word that we get in English from the Greek for agonize. It's like Epaphras was wrestling. He was agonizing in prayer on behalf of the church in Colossae. And when the early church is described in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we have one of these summary statements that we find in the book of Acts that describes what the church, the early believers, were doing when they were first meeting as a church. It says in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves. There's that same word, devote, be devoted. They devoted themselves. That means they gave time, energy, and effort to what? Four things: to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. That characterized what the church was doing. That characterized what the church should be doing, what the people of God should be doing when they gather together. But Paul gives us two more words here. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. And then the second thing, being watchful. The idea of being watchful is a common theme in the New Testament. And I think the reason why it shows up several times is that the disciples remember very clearly when Jesus told them to watch and to pray so that they wouldn't enter into temptation. Do you remember when that was? It was when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus took them to the garden before Jesus knew he was going to be arrested. And he takes them to the garden and he tells them to watch and to pray while he went to pray and to meet with the Father. And what happened to the disciples? They fell asleep. And Jesus comes back to them and says, couldn't you watch for 1 hour with me? And I believe that the disciples never forgot that. And that's why we see this theme of being watchful. Watch out. Be careful. Be alert. I think that's why Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he gives us this challenge, because he was one of the ones who fell asleep. He says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for somebody to devour. What that tells us is that the coronavirus is not the biggest challenge you and I face. Because the biggest challenge you and I face is our enemy, the devil, who's prowling around, looking to take advantage of somebody, to take advantage of people that are so stressed out about what's happening that they're not watching and praying. They're not being aware of what God is doing, but they're so focused on what everything is happening that Satan can take advantage of them. So let's make sure that we're not in that position, that we're being devoted to prayer, being watchful. And then the third word that Paul uses here is being thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. How can you tell when somebody is not being thankful? Michelle showed us the illustration. We tend to grumble and complain. We look at the hole instead of the donut, right? And it's interesting that when we're grumbling and complaining, it's very hard to be thankful. And when we're thankful, when we have this attitude of gratitude, when we're being thankful for life, very rarely are we being grumbling and complaining. So Paul says you need to choose to pray, being watchful, but being thankful too, choosing to be thankful. Anybody here admit that they've been a little grumbling and complaining through this virus that we've been dealing with? I know I have. There are times when it's like, this is just miserable. Let's be done with it. Let's just be over with it. And yet Paul says you can choose to be thankful. You know, the attitude is the key to what Paul is going to tell them next in terms of what they need to pray for. But it's important for us to recognize that our focus needs to be on God and what He is doing rather than on our circumstances and how difficult and miserable they may be at some point. You see, when I'm focused on God, I'm more interested in what He is doing than what's happening to me. And that's what Paul was doing. Because when I'm focused on God, I'm more likely to be praying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Rather than just praying, God, make my life easier. Take away this misery. Take away these difficult circumstances. Make me feel better. I just want to feel better. But instead, we pray, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Is God aware of the coronavirus? Of course He is. In fact, there's a sense in which we can say it's a part of His plan. He knows what's going on, and He can use whatever happens on this earth to accomplish his purposes, and we need to believe that even though we may not be seeing it, we can believe that God is accomplishing his purposes through this. Okay, so Paul begins with this challenge of how to pray. Now he gets specific in what we need to be praying for. And even though Paul is praying for them to, asking for them to pray for himself, the application is clearly applying to all of us today. Now we would expect that Paul would ask for them to pray that he would be released from prison, right? Because he's the one that's wanting to preach the gospel everywhere. But he doesn't ask for better living conditions. He doesn't ask for release. Notice what he prays for in verses 3 and 4. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. That's interesting. The man who has devoted his life to traveling all over the world to preach the gospel to places that have never heard it, doesn't pray for his release. Instead, he prays that God would open up a door for him to be able to share the message. Now, that may include being released, but it's almost like Paul has already shared the gospel with everybody around that he's in touch with. He says, look, I've already talked to everybody I'm in contact with. Now pray that God would open up the door larger so that I can speak with more people. And when you look at Paul's life, you know, he was glad that he was arrested so that he could appear before magistrates and judges and kings and rulers. In fact, that's what God called him to do, to be able to share the gospel with people that he would not have other opportunities to do that. So here Paul understands that God needs to open a door. And what does it mean to have an open door? This is another theme that you see used in Paul. It shows up in Acts and Paul's writings about four times. And every time in the context, it appears that the idea of an open door is new opportunities for the gospel to spread, for the gospel to be shared. And we can assume that he wants to see that happen however God wants to do that. And if God has placed him in prison and there's no way of getting out, he is praying that God would open up new opportunities for him to share the gospel, because that's what God has called him to do. And that's the commission that Jesus gave to his disciples. And he not only prays that the door would be open, he prays that he would be able to speak it clearly, that when he shares the message, that he would share it clearly so that people would understand it and respond to it. You know, we need to hear this today. You know, for the past 6 months, it's almost like all we've been hearing is closed doors. And churches have been, you know, closed for a while. And now opening up a little bit. And there are ministries that we start. I mean, we, you know, the whole ministry wing has been closed down. And we say, how do we do the things that we used to do? I mean, the doors seem to be closed. And yet, God is still at work. And he still calls us to share the good news. He still calls us to respond. So when we're frustrated with what has been happening, we need to believe we have a God who opens up doors. You know, when you read throughout the whole Bible, you find God opening up doors. God opening up the concept of opening is a theme throughout the Bible. Remember when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt? He takes them to the Red Sea. They can't cross. What does he do? He opens up a path for them to go across. And then in Psalm 105 verse 41, they're in the wilderness. There's nothing to drink. They're going to die of thirst. And what does God do? He opens the rock and water gushed out. It flowed like a river in the desert, the psalmist says. The prophet Isaiah points to the Messiah coming. And he says that when he comes, he will open the eyes that are blind. He will free the captives from prison. He will release from dungeon those who sit in darkness. Remember when Jesus went into the synagogue and he opens up the scroll of Isaiah and he reads this passage? And he says, that's what I've come to do. To open up the eyes of the blind. And what did he do? He met blind people and he opened up their eyes physically so they could see. But it was picturing to people that this is what he's doing spiritually. He's opening up their spiritual eyes so they can see the truth clearly and respond to it. And he not only opens up the eyes of the blind, he stands in front of Lazarus's tomb and he opens up the tomb and opens up and brings Lazarus back to life. God is in the opening business. And you and I need to believe that even though the world may appear to be shutting down and even shutting down again at times, and we get frustrated, we need to believe that it doesn't matter what the world does. It doesn't matter what the government thinks. We believe that God can open up doors that are shut. And we need to be praying for that. We need to be praying for that for our own lives, in our own neighborhoods. It seems that neighbors are more willing to talk than ever before because people are living in this uncertainty and this fear, and they're wanting to talk about it. Step through that open door and talk to them. Engage them in conversation. Ask them questions. And you don't have to have all the answers. Just take the time to be able to share with them the hope that you have, the perspective that you can have in spite of what the world is saying, in spite of the fear of death that people have. Let people know why you have hope and what you're doing on Sunday morning because you have that hope, that gives you that hope. And as you pray, don't just pray for yourself, pray for our church, that we can understand what doors to step through. You know, we're restarting Play and Grow again. We can only start with five families, which is nothing compared to the, you know, 20 or 30 that used to come out every Wednesday. But at least it's an open door. And maybe God is going to use that to reach people that we've never reached before. Pray that God would open up doors not only for us as a church, but for our missionaries that are serving in other places in the world. I believe this virus could be opening up countries that missionaries were not able to go to because things are changing so rapidly across our world. Let's pray that God would open up doors of ministry all over the place for people that have never heard before. So what does this mean for us as individuals? Let's make sure that we keep our focus on God, who is not surprised by the pandemic. He's still on the throne. He's still in control. Let's be watchful. Let's be thankful. Thankful for the freedoms that we enjoy, praying that we continue to have the freedom to worship and to serve God the way we do. And pray for open doors so that we can proclaim the truth. Now, the first step for many of us will be we need to stop grumbling and complaining, right? It's so easy to be so frustrated. But whenever we feel frustrated, let's turn that and say, God, okay, I want to recognize that this frustration is not what you are going through. Because you are not frustrated, so I'm asking you in your sovereign will to respond, to help us to have grateful hearts, to be thankful for all that we have, and to ask you to work in a way that you've never worked before. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 4 that really summarizes the importance of this message today. In Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15, it says, Jesus shared in their humanity so that by his death, he may break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Doesn't that describe our world today? Living in slavery to the fear of death? Seems like every news report reports how many people are sick. And from these sick people, more will die. And it's like, you need to be afraid. You need to protect yourself because it's scary out there. Because this virus could kill you and end your life. And people are living in fear. And they're captured by fear. Now, there's a healthy fear. And there are wise things you can do to avoid getting sick. But when you live in this fear of death, which our world is caught in this grip right across our world, with the sense of this fear of death because they don't know what's going to happen, you and I have an incredible opportunity of asking God to open up doors of opportunities for us to share the good news with others so that they can live with hope instead of this fear of death. Some of you are thinking, well, what am I going to say? Don't worry about that. Just start by telling them why you have hope, what Jesus has done for you. And then see if you can go the next step. And if they want to learn more, keep telling them more. Share with them a verse that comes to your mind. The basic verse is John 3:16. Just start with the basics. And if you get into more conversations and you struggle, then learn something. Find out more that you can learn from the Word of God so that you can share with them. Just open up the door and step through it and start speaking. Let's pray and let's ask God to help us to put into practice what Paul challenges us to do from this passage. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to devote ourselves to prayer through these challenging days. Help us not to be anxious, but help us to be watchful. Help us to be thankful. And we pray that you would open up doors of opportunity in our lives. Help us to think about our neighbors around us. Help us to think about the people we work with, the people maybe we go to school with. And as a church, give us wisdom as we seek to look for open doors in our community and in our cities. And for our missionaries, Father, open up doors of opportunities for them. And Father, if the Apostle Paul, who was so gifted at proclaiming the gospel, had to pray for you to give him clarity, then we can also have the hope that you want to use us too in our feeble abilities to speak sometimes. Help us to believe that you are working through us. And as you open up doors, help us to step through them. Help us to speak the truth that we do know, so that people can learn that there is hope beyond the fear that they may be experiencing. That they can come to know Jesus Christ as the one who died to give them life. Father, help us to respond properly. And especially this weekend as we enjoy Thanksgiving, help us to have thankful hearts and to believe that you want to work through us. In Jesus' name, amen.